Welcome back to How to Be a Healer. This is the first episode where we're sort of using the new format, and I get to, this is a really personal one because I'm interviewing my brother, Edward. So I have six beautiful brothers, I have a sister, and they're like my heroes. They're the most amazing people in my life. So it was really cool to go and sit with him and talk to him about his dreams and his business that he's just started, and his sort of journey from getting interested in running, and then how he sort of turned his passion into his dream. And yeah, he's just so inspiring. And if you're interested in running or like health and fitness, or just kind of curious, I think this would just be really helpful to anyone. And yeah, I'll see you at the I'll see you at the end. Bye. I'd have to just like
put it. Do you want something to put it on?
No, I think it's all right here actually.
Oh.
Yeah, just sort of like when you talk more.
This tap is so deep. It does, you know, like here at this angle.
Does the V.
Oh, it goes straight in. We end up just like in it. I'm like, blah. She's like, hey, film's good.
It's like, well. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So you are my dearest older brother. Yeah. One of my dearest older brothers. And okay, so we're going to talk about how to become a trail runner / how to be a trail running coach. What do you want to call it?
Ultra running.
Ultra running.
Yeah, ultra running.
How to be an ultra runner.
Yeah, how to be an ultra runner.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the name of it.
Yeah.
How do you become an ultra runner? Okay, so we'll start from who we're talking to is, say, someone who, because I've seen how you guys, all my brothers, have started running for the past, gosh, 10 years? Yeah. And I see how it's literally transformed your life. It's brought you so much joy and like magic and love, and just, I would use the word healing just because I think it has such a healing effect, ripple effect, being around that environment. I didn't know anything about it until you guys started doing it. So I see this as like a healing job, a healing activity. And where did you first hear about trail running? Because I want this to be for people who maybe they're going through some stuff, or they're struggling in life, or they're in a job they really don't like, and they see things like Iron Man or I don't know, even just Olympics, or just like their local running club, and they see things and they get like that excitement in their body, or they're like really moved or like drawn to it. So we're talking to that person who wants to know all about this world and we want to help them bridge in their mind that if they think it's impossible, mm-hmm. or they're too old, or they don't have enough money, or they're in some shitty situation and they think, how on earth would running help? How do I even start?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they just feel a bit hopeless. They don't have any community. They don't know anyone who does this.
Mm.
Where would you tell that person to begin?
So my suggestion for anyone who wants to get into trail running, Firstly, we are lucky in this day and age where there's just hundreds and hundreds of thousands of resources online. Chances are you probably know someone who does some running. So it just to start off with just requires a little bit of research and the worldwide phenomenon of park run. Great.
Yeah.
5K. You can walk it, you can crawl it. Is a great place to start. If people live in an urban environment, there'll be parks that you can go and visit. And if you live in a rural environment, there'll be trails all around you. Like the UK has a wonderful variety of national trails that you can jump online and find.
Would you just Google national trails?
Just Google national trails. See what's in your local area.
Mm.
And what will happen is you can like cultivate a sense of, you know, like adventure. Go and explore. Like a lot of people, you'll drive to work, you'll do your cycle, you'll walk to work, your regular commute. Most of the things that are around you, you're probably not going to see because you're going the same way all the time.
Mm.
So you could do your commute a longer way or just a different route, and stick your trainers on and walk it. Start as small as possible. The smaller the better, and expect to get lost, expect to get things wrong, expect to have sore feet, expect not to take enough food or enough water, expect to get caught in the rain, but go and find that sense of adventure.
Mm.
And what you may find is that you want to expand that, and that you find through that expansion, you find like-minded people a sense of community. Some people like to run alone. Some people like to run in groups. Some people like to do both, depending on how they're feeling.
Yeah.
But just by taking those very small steps, like I said, with park run, or just going out on your own, or find a friend who may not necessarily, as you see them day to day, be a runner, but might want to go, you might go, oh, do you want to go, I'm going to do some running. Do you want to try and do some running?
Yeah.
And then, so you might find someone to go running with. So it just requires a little bit of effort and a sense of adventure, and get curious. Like, you know, get out there and go and explore what's around you. You will be surprised at what you find.
Were you surprised?
Yeah.
Like when you first, you were like, oh, there's a whole community, there's a whole world in this.
And some. And loads of things come with that. Different types of fashion, different types of clothing, different types of people from all over the world.
Yeah.
Loads of people with different ideas. And these things just grow, you know, and you start to hear about races, and then you start to sort of hear about different communities and run clubs all over the country.
Yeah.
I work at a brewery alongside other jobs that I have. We have a run club.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a Tuesday night, 200 people will turn up to the Left-Handed Giant run club in Bristol. And it's an amazing experience. And that's, they do different, so cool, distances. They clap everyone as they finish. No one finishes alone. It's supported. It's safe. It's about community. So anyone who's keen to get out there or isn't, has doubts or fears or worries.
Yeah.
You really have to understand that these things are perfectly natural and they are part of the process. And the first and best thing you can do is just take a small step.
Agreed.
Just take one small step.
Yeah.
And then you might find that you'd take two.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I mean, even like just buying your first pair of trainers,
yeah,
like that'll be a nice little feeling. And then you can go, that builds a little bit of momentum, yeah, in that first run walk you do.
Yeah.
And then you build on it. So it's, I think it's also helpful to the people know that you don't just go from like zero to the top of Everest. You have to build your confidence, you have to build your literal physical body. Because I mean, I've definitely done this before when you try and rush something. And then you give up. Well, I think maybe people give up because they're like, ugh, I did it once or twice. And
most people run too fast. So there's a great phrase in ultra running, but it's true of trail running and running and park run, whatever distance you want to choose or time limit you want to choose. The structure of the body must be stronger than that of the aerobic capacity, as if to say you need to build strong ligaments and tendons to be able to withstand the impact of running. So what we do is we start small, and as we start small with our walking,
yeah,
we can start maybe picking it up a bit and run a little bit and walk a little bit and run a little bit and walk a little bit, and then eventually become running. But you need to build up strong ligaments and tendons. Most people, because they run too fast, they get injured. So if you want to become a runner and be able to do this thing that gives you so much joy and enjoyment and pleasure and experience and adventure, the wisest thing to do is start small, and then you can just keep going.
I love that.
Yeah. So there's a certain amount of wisdom.
Yeah.
But just start small, and the ruler by which you can measure to know if you're running too fast, if you're not able to sing or have a conversation, then you're running too fast.
Okay.
It's real simple. So think of your favourite song, bellow it out on top of your lungs, and if you're straining to reach those high chords that you want to meet, you're running too fast, and just slow down.
That's slow a good down. Point.
And if you're going slower, you're going to see more.
Yeah.
So that's my tip.
That's a very good tip. And if you, what's the difference between ultra running and, what is ultra running?
So ultra running is any race or distance further than that of a marathon. A marathon is 26.2 miles. And the smallest ultra marathons tend to start around the 30-mile mark. The longest ultra marathon on this earth is the Transcendental 3,100-mile race that goes around a block in the Bronx. In America.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. You showed me that.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And you just run around the block. The record's like 64 days. They run for a certain amount of time each day, and then they stop, go to bed, get back up and go again. But other ultra marathons just carry on, so you run through the night or whatever.
So should we name some famous ultra
races?
Yeah. Is the Barclay Marathons that?
Barclay Marathons, yeah. World famous ultra.
Good documentary, because then people can watch them and get inspired.
Okay, jump on Netflix, yeah, and you'll find the Barclay Marathons. Well worth a watch. Up in the Lake District, they have the Bob Graham Round, which is a route following a certain number of peaks. I think it's 64 miles. You have to do it within 24 hours. People can just do that off their backs. They schedule it in, and they get a GPX tracker, and they just head off into the hills.
Cool.
Generally with some support from friends.
Okay.
But they have to follow a particular route, either clockwise or anti-clockwise.
Ah.
And then other races that are notoriously difficult and world famous. You've got the Western States 100 in America. You've also got the Hard Rock 100 in America. And then here in the UK, we've got the Arc of Attrition, which follows the Southwest Coastal Path, which we've been to.
We've done that.
Which is cool. And then the most famous sort of prestigious World Series race, which is, if you like, the unofficial World Cup of ultra running, is UTMB, Ultra Trail Mont Blanc. And it circumnavigates the Mont Blanc Massif, starting in France, go around to Italy and then Switzerland and then back into France. It's 105 miles long, and the elevation gain is 10,000 meters. So you're going to run 105 miles and you're going to go over the height of Everest.
And my brothers have done it.
We did it 2 years ago. It was an amazing experience.
It was incredible.
Yeah, and a lot of races come with race cutoffs. That particular race, I think, is 46 hours or 48 hours. And you'll know I came in some 3 seconds or something below 40 hours. So if you ever get the chance, that's a cool
thing to do. So people can like look it up and like go down a bit of a rabbit hole and see these. Because I learn from you guys. Like I don't do ultra running. I'm the only person in our family does do ultra running, out of the brothers and sisters. But I get so inspired by just like the human stories behind things, and all the guys and women that you, or the athletes you guys tell me about, or you're inspired by, or like you'll have as your screensaver on your phone. I'm like, who is that? Yeah. And you'll tell me some beautiful story about someone who did this amazing thing, and then I get buzzed, and like I love seeing you, like when you see the people you love the most do the thing they love, and they get like amped up, and they're like glow, like a glow worm about it. It has such a like a ripple effect. Like it makes me, I get really inspired, and I just love seeing.
That's lovely.
Yeah, because like yeah, you guys are just my absolute heroes.
Right back at you.
Hey. So I love seeing that. And I didn't even know this world existed. And then when you, like, even now, I'll just listen to, like, people on other podcasts just off my own back because I know you've mentioned them. And I don't know what they're talking about with, like, the running sometimes, but I like hearing their story. And I love it even more when it's some story that, like, isn't linear, or like they were doing something completely different and then like now they're doing this other thing or they just overcome something.
Yeah,
because I think that's the universal theme that connects why people love stories like that so much, is because they can go, I can totally relate to that, or like we were just talking about with expanders, you can see if he can do it, she can do it, I can too, or your own version of it. So it's just like it just seems like a massive community of really like inspiring people.
Yes, and they're accessible.
Yeah.
And they're just like you and me.
Yeah.
And every single one of them started small. That's what they did. That's how they began. And like you say, it's the process of learning to run extraordinary distances for long periods of time is not linear. Never has been, never will be. Life is going to toss you around in every direction. But running is a fantastic way to get to know yourself, get to know other people, be inspired, and explore the world, it's one of the oldest art forms on planet Earth. That's how we used to get our food. That's how we used to keep away from the nasties that used to chase us, around the planet and gobble us up and stuff. And yeah, so, I mean, and also it's worth saying there's no real wrong way to run.
Yeah.
Like there's some basics that we can all learn. But everyone has their own techniques. Our individual bodies adapt to our style. So you can have some basic things that can help you, like how to use leg speed and where to put your feet and stuff. But there is no real wrong way. And obviously picking the right shoes is important, which you can get.
Oh, can you give a little helpful shout out some brands that do good shoes so people aren't wasting their money?
Sure. If you're going to go and buy, so in this case, trail running shoes, definitely need trail running shoes, otherwise you'll end up on your bum just for the grip. The best thing to do is to go on You either go to a running shop and they'll get you on a treadmill and they'll video you and look at how you land on the surface, or you can go onto a website called sportshoes.com, real simple, and they will ask you to get a piece of paper and dip your foot in the bath and put your foot on that piece of paper and then let it dry and look at the pattern that your foot makes. And then you on the website, and there'll be three patterns. Whichever one is yours, then you can select the type of shoes that are available for that pattern. Buy one of those pairs of shoes and then try them out. A good tip when buying trail running shoes is you kind of want about a thumb's width of extra space at the toe.
Okay.
Because when we run, our feet expand.
Didn't know that.
So your feet get bigger, they swell.
Like a frog.
Like a frog.
Cool.
And I mean, when I go out, I start, because I have a thumb's width of space,
yeah.
I run in two pairs of socks. Somewhere along the way, I'll either, if my feet have swollen a lot, I'll just lose a pair of socks. I'll just take them off. And then I've regained that space for my feet to keep swelling.
Nice.
So that's a good tip.
That is a good tip.
But, yeah.
And can people, again, with like the individual thing, if you want to run with music, run with music. If you don't want to run with music, don't do it. There's no right or wrong way.
There is no right or wrong way. Obviously, I would, if you're running in urban environments with the headphones, be safe.
Sure.
Just be careful. Run with one. But one of the most lovely ways to run is just follow the breath, run out there and listen to the sound of your breath, and you can really engage with your environment, with the sights, the sounds, the smells. Music, depending on the music, the tempo can really dictate how intense or how fast we run.
It's entrailment.
Yeah, like the difference between classical music that's really relaxing, and some banging trance music, will
punk music,
likely impact on how much effort you're going to put in. So it's definitely worth trying without, but it is a you do you thing. Especially with the trails in mind, like I differ between the both. So I sometimes go with the music, sometimes I don't, sometimes I go with a podcast.
Nice.
Maybe this podcast.
Ayo.
Ayo.
So sometimes you want to listen to Venga Boys and sometimes you don't.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yes. But just be aware that the tempo will likely dictate how hard you're going to push. So have a think about how much effort you want to put in. But it's up to you. But it's a great way to catch up on audiobooks. Or listen to a podcast or whatever, but it's also a great time just for thinking time, or just a chance to, and this is the big thing for me, everyone has their different sources, excuse me, of creativity.
Yeah.
For me, trail running, and then as an extension of that, ultra running is a form of expression. And you can go out on the trails where the surface is not flat. It's undulating, sometimes it's hilly, sometimes it's mountainous, there's rocks, there's mud, there's grass, slippy, it's grippy, it's all sorts of tree roots. And you can go out there and you can express yourself on that trail.
So cool.
You can dance down that trail.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a lot of clients about this, like, and the analogy I draw is like, it's like, you know, you're at the trail, you're about to start your run, consider what you're looking at as a blank canvas.
Mm.
And you are the paintbrush. Now go out there and express yourself on that trail and do whatever it is that feels good to you. Dance from side to side, leap over trees and
wave your freak flag.
Yeah, wave your freak flag, go out there and enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's a form of expression and it's a wonderful one. And chances are you'll feel better. Nobody ever entered into the forest and left saying, I don't feel better.
Mm.
It's just not a thing. go and enjoy all the wonderful chemicals that are in the air, the sunshine, the wind on your skin, and all the smells. And also you'll see other runners, which is lovely because you get these wonderful moments of like a shared smile.
Yeah.
There's a togetherness there, but a lot of time you won't say anything, but there's certainly a connection to be had. Mm. You just open your eyes, like we said at the beginning, to a new world. It's on your doorstep, and all you got to do is put the right shoes on,
mm-hmm.
go slow, and get adventurous.
Amen to that, sister.
Yeah.
And your job, what's your job? What do you do?
So my job is, I have two.
Yeah.
One is a mountain guide for a trail running company.
Name them train. No.
The trail running company is called Pure Trails Adventure.
Check it out.
Based in the Cotswolds. We take people all over the world, from Mallorca to Nepal, to Lavaredo in Italy, to Albania. We go to the Balkans, and we go running in the mountains.
So why do people book that? What do people who are experienced runners come to you, or is it just like... anyone can book this trip, mm-hmm. and how long do they go away on these breaks, and what do you do on these breaks? So I shouldn't call them breaks. Running.
So the trips are anything from 3 days to 2 weeks, depending on where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely accessible to anyone. We offer a service whereby we can offer training programs, guidance on how to prepare to come on these holidays.
Cool.
I would say that the trips are like 80% women.
Really?
Yeah, 80% women. Most of the people we get come alone, but we do get like friends or couples. Whilst we're out on the trips, they're fully supported. We have like a rolling aid station that comes along, so a van full of all sorts of goodies. Like a 4-to-1 ratio for guides.
Wow.
We set a pace so that it's a space where people who want to go faster can, because the lead guide will follow and stay up front. And then people who are perhaps feeling slower that day or less energetic or just want to hike the hills. Most of the time we do hike the hills. Can do so at the back, and we all finish together, and the scenery is stunning. We go out for meals in the evenings. I encourage folks, depending on the location, to do some cold water exposure. So quite often we'll stop and we'll get in like freezing cold lakes and rivers, great for recovery. And also just another chance just to ever so slightly get out of the comfort zone, which is great.
Yeah.
People make friends for life, lots of repeat customers. So I would urge anyone, like, if you think you're not able, give us a call, like jump on the website, drop us a message, come and speak to us.
Yes.
And we can have a chat.
And I won't say the word that I say too many times, but it'll be that information.
Can I guess? Would be in the show notes.
It's the goddamn show notes.
In the show notes. So that's one job, cool. which I love very much.
Yes.
And it's a great team. And my second job is I have my own ultra running coaching company.
Yes, 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 yes. So proud of you.
Thank you. So the company is called Future Trails. And it's Future Trails, ultra coaching for body and mind. And I've got an Instagram page, and I'm soon building my website. But so if anyone's interested, jump on Instagram. You can either find Future Trails or you can follow me personally. And my Instagram is Eddie Trail Tramp. So that's the two sort of points.
He's a Gandalf of knowledge. So you can... see all the beautiful things he does and his wise words.
My idea is that after 10 years of experience of racing, a couple of Ironmans, triathlons, and then...
No big deal.
onto ultra running, is that I feel like a lot of the coaches out there offer great information on how to get physically ready for an ultra marathon. And they offer training programs and stuff like this. It's great. It's perfect. People have had much success off the back of it. And I can now do the same.
Yeah.
However, I think there's not enough emphasis on the mind. If you can... So I try and get my clients to spend more time focusing on getting their minds ready for the races and for the training. And it comes with practice, consistency, and discipline. Discipline is freedom.
Absolutely.
And consistency is king. But if it's really hard, but it's worth it.
But acknowledging, just saying to yourself, I know it's going to be hard, and not, and kind of expecting it rather than like pretending that it doesn't exist,
yes,
and being like, this is the route. No one escapes it.
Nope.
No one, everyone you've been inspired by or heard or know hasn't gone through this.
Nicely put.
It's just how, it's like the maths of it.
Yes.
And we're all human beings, and it's part of the human experience. And you are denying yourself those mini lessons of like nuggets of like wisdom because you're trying to get to the end point.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a route for you can't even really understand that's perfectly designed and assigned to you. We all have our own like individual assignments, and you have to go and learn this lesson or like go through this growth or get out of your comfort zone or face a fear. And it's all like exactly the thing that you need, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to suck sometimes, but the freedom and the bliss and the like quality of life is going to be, that is worth it, because the pain is just temporary, that temporary discomfort, that pain, temporary fear, which you can always, you feel your feelings and like talk about it and like find people to help you through those. But the nugget at the end is like, ugh.
And also, like, it's worth saying, it has never been and never will be about the finish line. It's not coming.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's all about the journey, and going through the journey. That's the good stuff. And what ultra running has taught me, and my speaking with friends and others, you can learn to be okay with being uncomfortable. You're not going to be uncomfortable for too long, but you can be okay with being uncomfortable. And the great thing about ultra running is, I feel like in life, you know, things that make us uncomfortable or are difficult and challenging come about, and we didn't choose them. And it can sometimes be that it's not worth it because you don't really care. With ultra running, you've chosen to do this thing because you care, you understand why.
Yeah.
So you get to choose what makes you uncomfortable. And flexing that muscle of being okay with being uncomfortable with things that you have chosen makes those things that you didn't choose, it that come with living, with being a human being, far more palatable. And but just by practicing flexing that muscle, and it is a superpower.
I completely agree with you. It's like once you your window of tolerance can open and hold space for uncertainty and discomfort. That the more you do it, the more it expands a little bit bigger, and your nervous system grows with it and works. But if you can keep your nervous system calm, and you have your own little toolkit for that, do whatever you need to do, you can take bigger steps and scarier steps and have that like guess, bravery. But it reminds me of when you guys were doing Iron Man and you'd be like, maybe I'm paraphrasing, but it'd be something like, remember why you're doing this. Mm. You'd say that a lot.
Yeah.
And like the aid stations, like when we were doing support crew, you'd be like, I chose this.
Yes.
This was my decision to sign up to this
yes.
a year ago or yeah. whatever. I chose this. And yeah, I remember that kind of philosophy
yeah.
at that time.
Yeah. And the philosophy is very much exactly the same. Like when I'm take on a new client coaching,
yeah.
One of my initial emails, one of the questions is why? And the why comes four times. And that fourth one, that's why we're doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you can figure out why you want to do something, the how just does not matter. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. You can endure a lot, especially when it's something that you chose and you understand why. The process of running an ultra marathon, that journey, is transformative. And I can categorically say that the man who started UTMB and the man who finished UTMB some 40 hours later was not the same person. And having gone through that process and then subsequent time to reflect after the race, the changes are permanent.
Wow.
And
like to integrate all the lessons you got from it.
Yeah, and your perspective changes. And things that seemingly were annoying or difficult, they're kind of like water off a duck's back, really, after you've been through something so difficult and challenging. It is a team sport. You run it alone,
mm-hmm.
but it's a team sport because you need a crew quite often. There are many journeys to be had because you get a journey with your friends, you get a journey with your loved ones, but you also have your own personal journey, and no one will ever understand fully what it is like to have the experience that you've had. And it's a gift. You've worked hard, you've got out of your comfort zone, and you've had a life-changing experience, and that is a gift. It's available to absolutely everyone. And all I would say is, you are far, far, far more than you think. And the way to discover that is to take some action.
Abso-chuffin-lutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't think your way into your dream life on your sofa.
No. And also we're saying, and this is a tricky one, but life is transient. It's always changing.
Yeah.
How we feel, how we think, how our body feels, what's going on. But it is always transient. We are transient. We change every day. We grow. You're not always going to feel like it.
That's such a good point. I've been thinking about this over the past couple of weeks as well. And I heard people who have a kind of dream life that I want as well talk about how almost 80% of what their dream situation is kind of boring. Or there's some parts of it that are like, they don't really like doing, but it is part of almost adult human life that you have to do these kind of admin-y stuff.
Yeah.
But I wish more people had spoken about that or like do talk about that, because it can deter people thinking like, I should be lit up 24/7 by this thing. And that is insane. Like, it's almost like, it's like a cult. Like, it's insane to think you can keep up that level of happiness. I think it's that weird, toxic positive you have to be in. And you're like, if someone just said more often, like, you are a human being, you're going to feel all the human emotions, and that doesn't mean that you're, in inverted commas, bad or you're doing anything wrong. It's you chose to come, that's what I think, you choose to come here and have this human experience. You're just having a human experience. The more slight tangent, I'm kind of projecting my own stuff right now. But It's just because I think people need to hear, like, if they do want to do running or any of the jobs I've done interviews for, you, there will be some stuff that is a bit meh.
Yeah. Yes, there is. And that's absolutely fair to say and true to say. You're just not going to feel like it all the time. So as part of my coaching company, because the most important thing for me, I think, in terms of coaching and allowing, teaching people to understand that they are more than they think, is that my clients, are greatly encouraged to, learn a meditation practice.
Amazing.
And I will shorten their runs from time to time in terms of time. So if they had a 2-hour run and, I might say, right, we'll make it 1 hour 50, and the first 10 minutes of that run you're going to do your meditation.
Cool.
And just to help them find that routine, that practice, because it's difficult, and I do that through an app. The app is called the Waking Up app. Lots of science behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Great teachers, they all, generally speaking, really enjoy the process. And through the mindfulness practice, once they've got it, then they apply it to their running. And like you were just saying, you're talking about human experience, not always feeling like doing certain things. When we pay real attention to what we're doing, you can realize that no matter how boring you think something is, whatever it is you're doing is the first time. There will come a last time. And if you pay sufficient attention to what you're doing, you'll notice more about that experience. And it becomes brand new and shiny and interesting.
That's and awesome.
It's as boring as doing the dishes. You pay attention to the feeling in your fingers and the sensation of the water and the sound of the bubbles.
Holistic psychologist, yes.
Right. And
notice the bubble, the warmth.
Yeah. And
so you're saying being present.
Absolutely. Pay attention to your experience and you will have a different experience. And through the practice of, in the case of my clients, I don't teach them, the app teaches them non-dualistic mindfulness. They are able to pay sufficient attention that they are not continually distracted by their thoughts. Thoughts will always happen, they come and they go. But the having a great meditation practice allows us the freedom to respond and engage and pay attention. And if you can pay sufficient attention, I challenge that you will ever, ever get bored again. Because if you're paying attention, you're not going to get bored. So that was a really important part of, firstly, because it was a great passion of mine, is a great passion of mine.
Yeah.
And I practice when I run, I'm practicing day-to-day
life. You're practicing, you're doing it on you.
Yes.
And then you're teaching it to your clients. You're using your gifts and what you're generally authentically into and making a business out of it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And I want them to find the freedom that is offered in just having a meditation practice. And it's worth saying, you don't have to be a chef to cook. You don't have to be some yogi to learn to meditate.
God, no.
Meditation is just, it's funny. It's like, obviously, running and yoga.
Yeah.
Very old art forms, for spiritual practices, but also they come with great wisdom. It is the hardest thing I've ever learned to do, and it's the simplest thing I've ever learned to do. And put real simply, you're not really doing anything. It's ceasing to do something. It's ceasing to be distracted by thoughts again and again and again and again.
And it's a practice.
So
don't worry about if you think that seems like a really daunting thing to start off with.
Yeah, yeah. It
It's just practice.
Yeah, just a little practice. And you can sit and meet your mind, see what's going on. And we can realize the automaticity of, our sort of conditioning. And it allows us just a little bit of freedom, bit of space, sit back, drop back, to respond.
Self-awareness.
Yes, yeah. And you just respond in a different way.
Absolutely.
Something that takes you closer to who you want to be, instead of responding in the same old patterns.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice way of creating a bit of space. So with the power of the mind in mind,
yeah.
I really sort of get the guys who I'm coaching to embrace the practice, and had some really great feedback from them. And for me, I would say it's the most important practice in any human being's life. If you can nail how to meditate, you'll have a more fulfilling life. You will connect with experience.
Connection.
Yeah, you connect with it.
Yeah.
And experience all that life has to offer in reality.
Got it.
So you don't have to be lost in thought all the time.
Yeah.
And it's liberating.
That is beautiful.
So get running, people.
Get running. Okay, so let's do some questions.
Go on.
Who's your favourite runner of all time today? You don't have to say, just say in the moment right now what mood you're in. Who's your favourite runner?
Zach Miller.
Cool. And what a race would you like to run in your lifetime?
The Transcendental 3,100 mile race.
Beautiful. Who is an inspiring runner that you think is like people should know about, or like you should look this person up because they're pretty interesting?
I would say currently, I've got two actually.
Go for it.
Okay, so Jasmine Paris, she just was the first woman to finish the Barclay Marathons. She's from the north of England. She famously breastfed on a race course.
Hell yeah.
And then went and set the course record.
Oh my God.
Next level. And Courtney DeWalter, American, greatest female ultra runner of all time. I would put her in the top three ever. Wins all of them by miles.
Oh my God.
She's American, and balls of energy and bags of fun. And just those two are just so inspiring.
Wow.
And their stories are cool.
Amazing. Okay, and if someone wanted to have your job, what training do they need, and like where do they go? How would they find to do the course you did to get the training?
Okay, so the company I studied through, has an ultra running coaching course called the company's called USCA, if you just Google USCA. There's all sorts of stuff for triathlon, swimming, running, so any sort of endurance sports, and their ultra running coaching course is on there. I think it comes in around $500.
Okay, that's affordable for most people. Yeah.
Yeah, it's affordable. It's one less pair of trail running shoes and like a few bits and bobs. Like I feel like a lot of us can look at things that we maybe don't need for a month and cobble together that.
100%. Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah. It's self-taught, really tricky, but if you're good at that sort of thing, you'll love it. But there's lots of resources available. And the company themselves are really supportive. Mm-hmm. They have a podcast, which is really helpful because you can listen to, you're listening and learning whilst doing your running.
Great idea.
While studying to teach people to run.
So it's like a whole community waiting for you. So you're not going to be doing this solo. You're going to have some people and they can ask questions and like get all the support you need.
Yeah, and once you've been through the course, it'll take you through all the modules covering all sorts of interesting stuff about ultra running and the human body and the human mind. There's a quiz with each module. Once you pass the quiz, you move on to the next one, blah, 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 get to the bottom. Then you've got a couple of practice exams, which are really helpful. You don't have to pass them, but they're there for you. And then there's your final exam. The final exam is 3 hours long. It's 150 questions. And and you get two goes. So there's an opportunity not quite get there and then have another crack. And it's also open book, which is really helpful.
So you that is really helpful.
Keep your notes.
Okay. Well, that is... I feel like we've... you've... excuse me. Have helped inspire people who want to do this. Was there any sort of things you wanted to say to someone or anything that you feel like you haven't said that you think might be helpful to people, or any last minute words of wisdom?
Yeah, I just like people to understand that you can do anything you want to do. The only person who is stopping you is you. Mm. It's you versus you. It always has been and always will be. And you don't even need a good reason. Just take some action. Take some action. Go get uncomfortable. And see what happens. I don't make many promises, but I promise you it's not going to be what you think. Something's going to happen.
Great point.
But it won't be what you think. So go and just see what happens. Sit down to meditate. Have that ice bath. Get your trail shoes on. And go and get your sense of adventure for life back. We are here for 4,000 weeks.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's it. That's the average lifespan of a human being. You've got 4,000 weeks in this place, right? You don't have long. What will you do with your time? What are you going to do? And if you're wondering what it is you want to do with the time, what's going to give you purpose, sit down. Learn to meditate and you'll realize maybe just how distracted you may have become. Mm. And once you learn not to be distracted and how to pay attention, then you'll be able to give attention to those things that you discover that you love. And like I say, we are only ever getting in our own way. Two words that I use, I'm not sure if you're allowed to swear on this podcast.
You can swear.
I'm going to swear.
Effin' and Jeffin'.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
That puts a stop to thinking.
Okay.
Fuck it. Put the shoes on. Fuck it. Send that email to inquire about a course. Fuck it. Turn the cold tap on and get in that cold shower. Fuck it. I'm going to sit down and meditate for 1 minute. Fuck it. I'm going to do something different.
Mm.
See what happens. Something's going to happen, like I say. And good luck to you. And watch yourself change. And equally, watch others around you change. Everyone has a gift. And you can offer that up to other people and yourself just by taking some action. And enjoy the journey.
Abso-chuffin-lutely. Well, I really appreciate you talking to me, even though like we talk like this forever, for years. And I just appreciate you for being you, and I see you, and I just am so inspired by you, and I think you're amazing. And thank you for telling your story, and we can always do another one if you have any extra bits of goodness to add. But I love you.
I love you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone who listened to this. and I will see you on the next episode. Bye.